Welcome to Write Your Book Your Way, the interview series that goes behind the scenes of real self-published books to explode the myth that there's a right way to write your book and to give you the freedom to write in a way that feels good to you and gets it finished. I'm Chris Emery, owner and lead editor at Chris Emery Editorial, and I'll be interviewing my past clients, all first-time non-fiction writers and entrepreneurs, to show you how it can be done or could be done. Today, I'm talking with Lorraine Hamilton, who I worked with as editor on her book, Dye Your Hair Purple Sooner. Lorraine is a purple-haired engineer turned executive coach, author, and international speaker. She's on a mission to help unfulfilled high achievers redefine success and become legendary leaders of their life without completely starting over. Lorraine lives on the Kapiti Coast in New Zealand with her husband and two teenage daughters. Before she made a full-time career from personal development, Lorraine completed a BSc in Music Technology and Electronics and was first an audio engineer, Reed Roadie, and then a radio frequency engineer who designed cutting-edge mobile phone networks whilst creating award-winning team cultures. Here's what she has to say about writing her book. Okay, welcome everybody, and welcome to our guest today, Lorraine Hamilton. We worked together recently on her book, which is called, or actually, it's a spin-off of The Purple Hair Revolution. Is it called?
Yeah.
And it's called Dye Your Hair Purple Sooner. So I think the best way to kick off is to get you to introduce the book, but also where it fits into your business so that everybody has a bit of context for what it is that you do and how the book fits into that picture.
Cool. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you for having me and all the work that you did on the book to make it amazing. So the book is called Dye Your Hair Purple Sooner, and it's five steps to becoming the legendary leader of your Technicolor life. So what does that mean? It means over 15 years, I've been working with people on becoming their true, authentic, genuine, bold, amazing selves. And over that time, I've discovered that there is a process that people go through. So even though everybody is on their same journey, on their own journey rather, and that they're having a unique experience, there are some certain pieces that that are common. And the book was about bringing that process to life and I'm walking the reader through hopefully some entertaining stories from me and some clients and some colleagues, but also walking them through that process so that they can feel like there's nothing wrong with them, they don't need to compare themselves to anybody else, that they can be who they are meant to be. And I call that your Technicolor life. It's like tuning the radio station to your perfect frequency and knowing that you are being the best you, which is a little bit cliche, but effectively that's what it is.
You managed to do that without using those cliche words, which is so good because I think until people really find their voice, they do tend to use those sort of typical, maybe personal development, self-helpy kind of words. But you've got a signature system and you've really made it yours, which is not just what you teach, but also, you know, really, really important to writing a book in general. So it not only works for me, but it works for for you. So just so that everybody knows what it is that you do when you say that you have worked with people, how does the book fit in with the work that you do either one-on-one with clients or in your programs?
Yeah, so the book is a really nice entry point to seeing how I work with people. And I work one-to-one, and I also have the Purple Hair Revolution, which is my group coaching experience. I call it an experience because it's not a course. It doesn't have a defined outcome. It is a container for people to do this work, and everybody is on their own journey. We've got people in there who are starting businesses, we've got people writing books, we've got people who are just trying to do life better. It's a really supportive container, and Somebody asked me how I would describe it, and I would say it's a success and happiness incubator. You know, it's
I love it.
It's whatever you need it to be. And you know, in terms of the marketers that are watching this are all going, oh my God, it's too generic. Well, I don't think it is. I think that the Purple Hair Revolution attracts a certain type of person, and it's someone who wants to be part of a community and do their own work while supporting others. So it is about just learning about yourself. You can't know what you want until you know who you are.
Mm.
And that's what it allows you to figure out.
You certainly can't write a book until you know what you're about. So I can imagine those authors, those budding authors in that incubator are going to be really, really strong on what their message is, because they have really gotten to know who they are. Sounds really cool.
It's actually interesting. I've got one author in mind at the moment, and she has spent the first thinking that she was coming into something that was just going to be accountability and just get through the stuff. And she spent a chunk of time in the murk, recognizing that she's getting in her own way. And finally the light bulb has happened, and she keeps coming to the calls with all these, she hand writes. So she keeps coming to all the calls and is showing us her journals. Look, and she says, and it's front and back, and showing us how much she's written. Just because she's had that tip over into knowing who she is and what her message is now.
Amazing. Essential for creativity, any creative work, not just writing, and life in general. So
absolutely,
what was it that made you go, right, okay, I'm gonna start writing this book, I've got this idea in mind, now's the time? What was that tipping point moment?
I'd love to have a really good story for this, but I don't. So the way that I had the title of the book before I had the book, I didn't have a plan to write this book when I wrote it. I knew there was another book in me, but I didn't have a plan as to when it was going to happen. And I was on a podcast, and the podcast interviewer had gone through the whole thing about, oh, tell me the story about your hair, because everybody asks about my hair. And that's fine. That's cool. People hire me because of my hair. And so we had that conversation. And at the end of the podcast, there was this sort of quick fire round of questions that often podcast interviewers like to ask. And one of the questions was, what is the advice that you would give yourself, your younger self? And because we had been talking about the hair and what it represented and all these things, I said, dye your hair purple sooner. And the podcast host said, oh, that's the title of your next book. And I was like, okay. So I had the title, but I didn't have the book. And then I was sitting, and I think it was over that kind of lockdown period. You know, I'm in New Zealand, so I'm very fortunate that our lockdown was quite short and sharp, and then we moved on. But it was kind of in that
lockdown. You didn't
that know that lockdown. At the time, though.
None of no, us I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. So I think we were just kind of, I was in my lockdown groove, you know, I knew what I was doing, and I had some space. And one of these write a book in 30 day challenges came across my Facebook feed. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And I thought, well, I don't want to do it in 30 days because I want to honor it a bit more than that. But it might be what prompts me to get started. And so I used the initial momentum of that challenge to get started.
Mm.
And then the challenge went off and they were going 100 miles an hour. And I was like, no, I'm still on the content. I'm still on the content. So that's what kept me going. And then I remembered, because I'm good friends with Barbara Nixon, who is another one of your authors.
Yes, she is. And I interviewed her in this series. So yeah, I worked with her quite a few years ago now.
That's right. Well, I remember when you were working with her, and I remember Barbara saying to me that the most motivation she had was by having the conversation with you and booking it, because there's two parts, right? There's the starting. So starting is one challenge, but finishing is another really big challenge. You know, how many people have got half finished books on their laptop?
And we're talking about starting and finishing the writing, right? Because then starting and finishing the editing and actually getting it published is a whole other thing. People think, yes, it's done once they've, you know, put that final word down, but actually it's really just beginning when you hand it over. as
that's right.
Covered.
Totally, totally. But having that deadline of I need to finish my bit that I'm doing on my own, and having that deadline really worked for me. And it was Barbara that told me that. She said it was so motivating to have that, know that you've blocked out this time to work on my book. I have to get it finished.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So normally I ask, you know, what is it that made you realize that it was finished? But for you, it sounds like it was just having that date locked in that you just sat down and got it done.
Pretty much. And I think this is also interesting because I've been thinking about this, and there are different writers, obviously. There are very disciplined writers who are very careful about every word and everything that they put into their book. That's not me. I'm a kind of once and done gal. It's like, get it out. And because if I start questioning it, then I'll never finish it. I'll go back. I already want to rewrite it, but I'll have to get it out and move on and go, this is what it is right now. And there's always going to be the second edition or the third edition or another book. Or so it was just get it out and get it to you and trust you can put the pieces together of the jigsaw puzzle to make it good, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah. And I mean, those 30-day, write your book in 30 days, write your book in a weekend, all those sorts of things. I mean, I can understand why marketers couch it in those terms and give you a kind of number of days, because that's obviously very appealing. You've got a final date. And I do think that they're actually very useful, even if you don't get it done in that time. And I wouldn't necessarily even suggest trying to get it done in that time, because like you said, it takes time to percolate and you want to honor it and so on. But at least you get that momentum and you get the maybe a bit of accountability or a bit of motivation or whatever it is that you need. And they're great. They are great for getting started, but then and for continuing and carrying on. But then the bit that I think a lot of people struggle with is the, how do I know when it is actually finished? I might have written everything down once, but is this really the iteration of it that I do want to ship? But I am a bit like you in that once I've written something, I don't really want to go through it again and again, like, which is a bit weird really, because I'm an editor and that's what I do with other people's stuff. But with mine, I'm like, oh, I can't face the thought that wasn't just what it was meant to be. And, you know, I don't like tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. When it comes to other people's stuff, of course, I'm seeing it for the first time when I'm editing. So I can put that in a kind of different box. But yeah, I'm just like, get it out.
Yeah.
So how did you know that you were sort of ready to hand it over to me? Was it just the date? Were you just like writing up to the deadline, or did you know that you'd have an opportunity? Were you not too attached to it because you knew you'd have an opportunity to see it again? Or
That's a really good question. I think I knew that there was going to be opportunities to see it again, but I think something that you told me in one of our initial conversations was, it doesn't need to be a finite length. It's like your book is however long it takes you to tell the story or to share the information that you need to share. Yeah. And that was incredibly liberating for me, because whilst I'm a sort of once and done girl, I'm also a little bit of a, you know, I want to do it right. You know, I just want to do it right first time.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
My first draft is pretty good.
So I think that's what that challenge gave me. It gave me enough prompts to have some guidelines of, okay, I need to do this and select some stories, and I need to have a bit of an idea of what the framework's going to be, even though it wasn't quite what the end framework was, but it gave me enough to get started. And that allowed me, the way that I've always written anything, whether it's books, articles, essays at university, projects, is always just to, what's the next question that I'm answering? So I always left myself with a question to answer in the next writing session. then I never really got a block because I was always answering a question rather than trying to come up with the next thing.
So smart and so good for structure, which is probably why, like, when it came to doing the structural edit or the developmental edit of your book, the structure was really there. Like, you were following a signature system and it made, like, the flow all made perfect sense. I don't know if you really felt like that, because I think when you got the initial feedback, you were like, whoa, so much. But actually, from my perspective, you know, that was relatively complete and relatively finished compared to, you know, some of the things I see.
Yeah. I forgot what the actual question was before because I went off on a tangent. But
how did you know that you were done?
Having that process was quite helpful because I knew that once I had covered off my process that I was kind of done and it just needed concluded and wrapped up in a nice bow at the end. So I think for a book like mine, it was almost self-determining. Mm. It was just whether or not there was enough, whether or not it was relatable enough and whether or not there were enough stories, whether there were enough anecdotes in it to make it relatable, because that's what I find quite difficult. In my head, everything makes sense. It's my process.
Yeah. And I think that's actually really underestimated because we really complicate that whole drafts, tweaking and iterations of the book. Some people really stay in that self-editing stage for ages. But what if it's just I was done when I'd finished writing all of the content of the outline that I had planned? You know, yeah. it can just actually be as simple as that. And I know that you allowed yourself space to, you wrote all of your content and then we did go back and insert case studies and stories, but you allowed that to be like a separate exercise while I was doing the developmental edit, which worked quite nicely because there wasn't as much to say about case studies. You know, somebody reports something to you and you just write it up into, like, whether it's an interview or whether it's them just telling you their experience. So those slotted in quite nicely in certain places and they just made really great examples to back up what it was that you were trying to convey. So quite an easy, straightforward exercise, really. And I don't think a draft necessarily has to be 100% finished when it goes to the editor. It depends on what kind of editing you're having done, obviously. By the copy editing stage, we want all of the content there, but there's definitely some merit in allowing yourself that leeway of maybe going and getting it some extra research or knowing that there is some more bits and pieces that you still want to do down the line, and that's totally fine.
It was really valuable to me to do it that way as well, because it gave me the opportunity to get your initial feedback. And although there weren't any drastic changes, those tweaks that you made were so pivotal and powerful. And it was almost like I didn't want to predetermine where the case studies were going to end up, because those little tweaks made all the difference, and then we could slot them in the right place, and it's almost magical how well they fit into the book now at the different parts.
Did you ask people questions in the interviews and case studies based on where you thought they might, like, did you guide the conversations with any kind of section in mind, or was it very organic?
Okay. It was entirely organic. It was, you know, what was your dye your hair purple sooner moment? What do you wish you had done before you did it? You know, when were you brave?
That just tied in with your process.
Yeah. Perfect.
That's how you know your process really is a thing, right? So last question then, really, because we've pretty much covered how you worked. But if you were to give it another crack or write another book, what would you do differently as far as how you tackled it?
Good question. I honestly don't think it would be greatly different to the way that we did this book. I mean, the book that you can see behind me, the green one, I wrote that book completely by myself about 8 years ago. People love it. I cringe when people buy it, you know, because I didn't have any help. I didn't have any feedback. It's just like, oh. So I probably, you know, this process really worked for me. I'm really proud of the book that we've created. And, you know, I think just the next book will be a similar process, only better. Now that I've been through the process and I know what to expect, I'll just be... Oh, I think I'll just it will just flow even more.
Lots of people say that, and then knowing what they know, it freaks them out, and then they don't write the second one or the third one in your case. So it's good that you're more encouraged by it rather than put off, because I think sometimes a lot of people who have written one book say, oh, I wouldn't have started if I knew everything that there was to do. But I would say to that, you know, most of those things are practical things that you can just learn or outsource. You know, actually the bits that you need to do yourself are really just getting your ideas out of your head in the first place. And that was obviously a relatively straightforward for you, because your signature system or the process that you have identified was just all there. Did you map it out in advance, or did you kind of write just as it came up in this
I had
an answer question kind of way?
Yeah, so I had an outline, and I had some stories that I wanted to tell. So I had done a little bit of the groundwork, and those prompts were really helpful in terms of who's the reader, what do I want to get them to get out of it, what do I want them to learn, how do I want them to be different after they've engaged with this book, and then if that's what I want them to have at the end, well, then that's what I do. It's like, I know what the goal is, how are we going to get there? So what is the process to get a reader from opening the book to that outcome? And then I just mapped out, okay, well, they need to know this, 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 and this, and this is the process, and this is how they get there. So there was a skeleton that I then went back and populated with content and stories and teaching and prompts and questions, yeah.
Perfect. So I can't wait to have a copy of this book in my hands. I wish we had one to show people now, but because of
thank you, COVID,
with the pandemic, it seems like there's they've been a little bit caught up in the post. But I will link the book up in the blurb about this interview, and people can go check it out. So thank you so much for your time today. It was really awesome to hear the behind the scenes of your book, and I can't wait till everybody gets to see it.
Well, thank you for all your help, Chris. It really was a team effort, and I'm very, very, very happy with the end result. I just wish I had one to hold in my hand. I have a client she bought one on Amazon, and she's got it before I've got mine.
Oh, no way.
So she sent me a picture of her holding it. I don't have any.
Is it currently available for people to get their hands on of right now?
Right now it's on Amazon, Kindle and paperback.
Ah, okay. I misunderstood. I thought you were still waiting for the proof copies. That's perfect. So it's out there, and I will make sure everyone knows where they can get hold of that. Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Chris.
See ya.